Blues Music Radio Free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Folks, hour number two of today's program, and want you to think about these things because we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, and you know that that has to be the ball that got everything rolling in the 21st century. This was the new curve, if you will, the new master plan out of the synagogue of Satan to bring America into war for her, on her behalf, in the Middle East. And as we know, just by looking back in the past, immediately people were beginning to question it. And we're going to bring up guests, obviously, in the next couple of weeks so we can talk again about 9/11 and the fact that we have never had a number of questions answered by anybody in any official capacity or governmental authority. No 9/11 investigative committee, which I have the report of, we have no actual factual basis for many of the statements that came out of the NIST report. And so we have lie after lie after lie. And where does it go back to? It goes back to the synagogue of Satan. It goes back to the Lansky crime family and its associates. So just want to prepare you for that because this anniversary coming up now, 17th anniversary of 9/11, may be a very key time in our nation's existence. We are now getting close to the end of this roller coaster. All right, so we're going to take a call in a moment or so, and we'll do that, and then we'll play an audio clip in just a moment, but may intersperse a call right now. 800-313-9443 is the number. 800-313-9443. Let's talk to Laura for a minute here. Hi, Laura.
Hello, Mr. Adams.
Hi.
I got two cool questions for you.
Sure.
The one is, have you read the book by Tupper Saucy, Rulers of Evil?
Yes, I have that book in my collection.
Yeah. So here's my question. It's all about Cain, the line of Cain, right?
Yeah, it deals with that, sure, and all the political ancillaries of it. Mm-hmm.
People can get it still. It's out of print, but you can get the PDF on the internet. But my question was, the man who was describing it, because I can't see, he said, once you know that they have a mark of Cain, and once you know it, you will recognize it in many things. Can you describe for me the mark of Cain?
Well, the mark that was placed on Cain after he murdered his brother Abel is a mark that was a mark of protection that God put upon him in order that he may fulfill his prophecies. God's prophecy that is that Cain would be the head of the murderous seed line right down to the end, okay? The end of this generation, which would consummate in the 70-year fig tree generation in Jerusalem. So that mark is his basically his symbol. That's his way, his system, Cain's system of corruption economically, politically, in terms of academics, and in terms of religion. He would lead the world away from God, away from Christ, into the new Babylon. And that is what is happening today. It's a sign, it's a symbol, and it is not necessarily any kind of digital implanted mark or RFID chip. It is an indication of what he stands for, and who is going to worship him, who is going to know him by his mark, by his trade, and who will follow him. I dare say many of the Christians today, unfortunately, Laura, they're going down that path. They're going down the path to destruction because they are actually in bed with Cain's seed line, you see? Does that help you a little bit?
It does, it does. I thought it was going to be something like the sixes. You know, it's in movies and shows. They always have sixes. Room six. James Lloyd has a DVD about the secret sixes.
Well, you know, the 666 is Satan. That's Satan's number. The hexagram is the six-pointed star of David. You don't need to know a hell of a lot more than that to see by their fruits you shall know them. And you shall know how this is a murderous seed line. It's been tied to the JFK assassination. I just mentioned 9/11. Mentioned all of these terror incidents across the world, the assassination of leaders, killing of scientists, stealing of land. This is what Cain did. He was evil. He was worthless. And God knew it right from the beginning. So he cursed the ground that Cain would inhabit. And that's why in Palestine today, this government has to import workers and have Palestinians do the farming for them that normally they would do because the ground will not yield anything fruitful for them. You see that? That curse is still there today.
So also the name is Kenite, right?
Kenites, yes. The sons and daughters of
Cain.
Right. Yes.
Some people don't know about that word.
Well, and that's the key, and that's the, you're right. They don't know who the sons and daughters of the wicked one are, but Jesus denounced them, and he made it very plain and clear that they would have to face him in the day of judgment and the day of the Lord when he comes during the beginning of the millennium, too, you see. So it's an exciting time. All right, thank you very much, Laura, for checking in.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless. All right. Now, let's go to that next clip, Sam. And this one is narrated by David Duke, the first segment, and we'll begin right now.
In the award-winning films The Godfather and The Goodfellas, to thousands of lesser films and documentaries, organized crime has been so associated with Italians that Italian music and even spaghetti brings an almost instant association with organized crime. In actual fact, Italians constitute only a tiny fraction of organized crime in the Western world. And one of the most shocking of the WikiLeaks cables comes from the American Embassy in Jerusalem. It's titled, Israel, Promised Land of Organized Crime. And it warns American law enforcement agencies about the severe threat of Jewish organized crime to America. Now, I learned about this from a Jewish publication, the Jewish Chronicle, which calls it, quote, a real WikiLeaks shocker. Well, Jews are allowed to know about this shocker, but just about the whole rest of the world doesn't have a clue about it. You won't learn about this on CNN, Fox News, or the BBC. Today, I will discuss the cable detailing extensive Jewish involvement in organized crime and tell you the history of organized crime that you don't learn about in the mainstream media. Today, you will learn the hidden truth about organized crime. The truth the media bosses hide from you. Of the thousands of diplomatic cables embarrassing to the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, and other nations, a number of commentators have noted how few of the hacked diplomatic cables expose Israel and the Zionists. Considering the fact that the hacked cables span the period of the Israeli mass bombing, murder, and maiming of thousands of Palestinians, women, and children in Gaza, and the fact that they were from the same time period that included the Israeli forging of European and other passports in violation of international law, and the Zionist bloody assassination of Israelis' enemies in third countries, you might wonder why only a few WikiLeaks released cables deal with these major human rights crimes of Israel. Now, some have suggested that WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, is in cahoots with the Mossad. Maybe so. The verdict is not out on that yet, but here's what Assange himself said in a recent interview with Al Jazeera TV. Now remember that Assange is no critic of Israel. In fact, he strongly supported Israel in the past. Assange said that only a meager number of files related to Israel had been published so far because the newspapers that paid for exclusive rights to publish the secret documents didn't want to publish damaging information about Israel. I quote, "There are 3,700 files related to Israel, and the source of 2,700 files is Israel. In the next 6 months, we intend to publish more files depending on our sources. The Guardian, El Pais, and Le Monde have published only 2% of the files related to Israel due to the sensitive relations between Germany, France, and Israel." He goes on to say this very revealing statement, quote, "Even the New York Times could not publish more due to the sensitivities related to the Jewish community in the United States." Consider his words, quote, "due to sensitivities related to the Jewish community, they held back thousands of documents on Israel. If you want to know who controls the world's press, here's proof of the real power in the media. The press can publish thousands of WikiLeaks cables that offend the United States, Britain, France, Turkey, Iran, but for God's sake, don't dare offend the Jewish state of Israel. No matter how sensational, no matter how damning these documents are about Israel, you're not allowed to know that most of them even exist." Now notice what was revealed. Documents such as Saudi Arabia supposedly giving the green light for an attack on Iran was on the front pages of the press. Of course, the international media has long had a powerful Jewish influence in both ownership and management of mass media. They show the American people cables and supposedly build up the case for attacking Iran. But the Jewish-owned New York Times will not allow Americans to see cables from our own government called Israel Promised Land for Organized Crime, because Americans aren't even allowed to know about the real and present dangers to our country from Israel's gangsters. Now let's get to the heart of the cable. The cable came from the American Embassy in Jerusalem. The report is titled Israel Promised Land for Organized Crime, and it shows that Israel is the world center for many criminal syndicates, and it shows that there are still at least a few loyal American citizens that are left in our government. That's a bit surprising sometimes. Quote, "Organized crime has long-standing roots in Israel, but in recent years there has been a sharp increase in the reach and impact of organized crime networks. Organized crime in Israel now has global reach with direct impact inside the United States. Post is currently utilizing all available tools to deny Israeli organized crime figures access to the United States in order to prevent them from furthering their criminal activities on United States soil." The report goes on to show that organized crime reaches into the highest echelons of Israel's government. Quote, "Just last month, Israeli politicos and organized crime figures came together for the funeral of Likud party activist Shlomo Oz, who served time in prison in the 1990s for extortion on behalf of the Alperon family, a powerful organized crime family. Among those in attendance was Omri Sharon, son of former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon." You wouldn't know it from the Jewish Hollywood movies, but Jews have dominated organized crime all over Europe for hundreds of years before there was any Sicilian mafia at all. 99% of you watching this video have no idea that Jews, not Italians, led the most powerful and murderous crime syndicates, the fountainhead of organized crime in America for the entire 20th century was Murder Incorporated. It was an overwhelmingly Jewish organization, the fountainhead for organized crime in America for the rest of the 20th century. Murder Incorporated wasn't Italian, and it wasn't a mafia. It was as Jewish as gefilte fish and matzo balls. From this single organization came the biggest organized crime bosses in American history. The most powerful organized crime figure in America was not Al Capone. It was Meyer Lansky, one of the original leaders of Murder Incorporated. Law enforcement personnel agree on the power of Lansky. And they also agree that Lansky was a big Zionist. This is how Newsweek put it. "Each year, Lansky and his underworld associates pour vast sums into Israeli bonds and Israeli philanthropies. As the Daily Haaretz saw it, the government seemed afraid of losing the millions of dollars in illicit money first laundered in mob-controlled institutions and then funneled into Israeli businesses and industry. Investigative reporter Jack Anderson talked about the issue in the Washington Post. Quote, "This underworld boodle, much of it raised from nefarious enterprises in the United States, is laundered before it arrives in Israel." In the book Lansky, Messick reveals the relationship between Israeli and American Jewish gangsters. Quote, "Certainly Jewish gangsters have long and openly supported Jewish causes in the state of Israel. On the night Lansky's ex-partner, Bugsy Siegel, was executed, the Flamingo was taken over by Mo Sedgway. When asked how he so conveniently happened to be in Las Vegas, he explained that he was there to arrange a United Jewish Appeal Fund drive." The same Jewish media that has consciously and relentlessly created an Italian association with organized crime actually forced publishers of Messick's book to change the cover of the book, Lansky, to drop mention of the Jewish role in organized crime. Here's the old cover and the new. You see, it's great for the media to lay on the Italian organized crime connections incessantly, but they can't stand one little book subtitle about the real leaders of organized crime. And this was also the most ruthless, murderous, evil crime organization ever to exist in the United States. They killed hundreds of people, from fellow criminals to many innocent individuals. Their specialty was to kill people slowly with ice picks or by hog-tying people in such a way as when they struggled to breathe, they would slowly strangle themselves. Nice, huh? The organization was overwhelmingly Jewish, much like the leadership of the early murderous Bolsheviks in Russia, another fact you're not allowed to know. Here is just a partial list of their members with some colorful nicknames for these bloody killers. Max the Jerk Galab, Louis Lepke, Buchholbet, Abadaba Berman, Frankie Tietelbaum, Lulu Rosencrantz, Lou Cohen, Mickey Cohen, Tootsie Feinstein, Izzy Farbstein, Pittsburgh Phil Strauss, Bugsy Goldstein, Bugsy Siegel, Gangy Cohen, TikTok Cannonbaum, Arnold Rothstein, Meyer Lansky, Big Greeny Greenbaum, Sholem Bernstein. And I could go on and on and on. By the way,
alrighty,
they sound like the names.
We can break right there. That's a good place to stop. On and on and on it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Well, I think with these last two videos dovetailing, I think you've gotten a pretty clear and a good chronology of how it all started, at least how much of it started, because it goes back even before those days as well. The 1800s, and of course the Rothschild family, the major mega bankers were certainly all in the mix here in terms of hiring assassins, getting an organization together that would constitute crime, you know, constitute terror, the ability to take over government, to execute people and put them out of business, buy them up, you know, buy them out. That's what they did with the liquor industry, and that's how the Bronfmans became so powerful. And the Bronfman crime family, as Art so articulately exposes them, is just that. It is a crime family. I mean, they amassed a fortune off of the distilleries, all of the liquor trade, all of the getting people addicted to drinking. And that's why we have the era of prohibition. It actually made them successful. And that's how you get an amendment through, until it was repealed. And this is how they operate, by extortion, blackmail, control of politicians, bought and paid for, and then, of course, the gun control angle, you know. They had the guns, the machine guns, and then they passed legislation to ban those guns for the average citizen. Come right back, folks. We'll take calls today. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
1-800-313-9443 is the number. Don't forget Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program online as well at his website, www.andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. He would love to have you listen. And maybe you can contribute to his show. We'll take your calls at 800-313-9443 on your reaction to reality. This is reality. It's not media propaganda, Trump versus the deep state versus the Republican. The Republicans play against the Democrats. Folks, as long as we control your money, your banks, they're our banks. We control everything. That's the Harold Rosenthal interview. No one can refute it. And the media are the key. All right, let's take Frank in North Carolina first. Hello, Frank.
Well, hello. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Okay.
Fine, thank you.
Right.
Yes, I'm listening, Frank.
Yeah, I had a question. This is a question I've had for a long time, and I've never really brought it up on a radio show before. I've always wanted to ask Alex Jones this, but I've just never really thought about it at the right time. But what do people mean? I know different people mean it in different ways. Some use it to deflect criticism, or whatnot. Some people are disingenuous when they use it, but they use this word to evoke certain images in people's minds and whatnot. But what do you think when I ask the question? And I know there's different ways to look at it, but when I say, what do people mean when they use the word Nazi? What do they really mean by that?
Well, you'd have to ask the different people that use it. I know it is used commonly as a killer term. You know what a killer term is? It's a term designed to evoke such horrific emotions of calamity and disputation and shock that it's a means of silencing debate. It's a means of just shutting up people from discussing ideas, and it doesn't have to be just the Holocaust, as you've seen. It can also be just anything, academic freedom, internet freedom, censoring viewpoints, violence in the streets, whatever it might be. All you have to do is use the word Nazi, and that is supposed to shut it down. There's no opposition. We all condemn Nazism. We all condemn terrorism. We all condemn the Bush enemy, you know, the people that we were told to hate after 9/11, the, you know, Bible-believing Bush family told us that we had to go to war. Just trust us, because we have a new Nazis. Now, we have some new Nazis trying to take over the whole world, and they're even more dangerous than the original Nazis, you see, because these Islamic terrorists turn on each other. They know no loyalty. All they do is preach hate. So the word Nazi, in the general sense, I would say, Frank, is designed to do exactly that. In the case of AJ, it wins him a brownie button on the part of the media, in the sense that even though he is still considered extremist and persona non grata, that at least they can say he's not a Nazi. He's not a Holocaust denier, but he is a little cuckoo, and people like that should definitely be put away. Now, it's also used by Keenites against each other, as you know. I mean, they call each other Nazis. The stereotypical image of the Nazi is the image of evil, you know, the image of Dracula coming to get you. So it's a very effective language tool, basically, and that's what it comes down to. Does that help you?
Isn't it funny? Isn't it ironic, though, Rick, that you know, what by the official narrative is considered to be the arch enemy of Jews, of the Jewish people, the Nazis. It's everything that they are. They project onto the Nazis.
Yeah, everything, exactly.
That they're about. And I really get tired of the use of the word dark term Nazi, because it seems like more often than not, particularly in alternative media, it's used by people that are trying to gain some favor with the enemy, or other people, weak-minded people. They're evoking the image that it's these evil white guys who are, they hate everybody that's not white, and they're these evil white guys, and they just want to kill everybody, and they're real meanies, they're mean people. Yeah. That's what I think a lot of these simple-minded people that I hear calling into these shows, they want to say that's the Nazis. Or is it like a party member back in the 1930s or 40s? Is it someone who was German that was fighting for the survival of what they believed was the survival of their own people after the Jews declared war on them? I mean, you know, it's just so many. I think the term is so overused. I get sick of hearing it by people who claim to be intelligent, you know, people, scientists, and whatnot. It's just, it's very childish to me. I think they need to come up with a better word.
I think Michael Collins Piper really was pretty good at explaining it from his point of view, and I think he mentioned it that today there are no so-called Nazis. That Nazi Party of Germany was a one-time thing. It was something that was created, you know, and I would differ with Piper on some of it. I would say that, as you know, that the same people that denounced the Nazis, as you said, had a key role in creating them in Germany. They set up the opposition to the policies that they created. Hold on to that thought, all right? Let's take the break. I'll come back and answer your question a little more. Join in, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Rick Adams with you, hour number two, today's show, August 25th. We have Frank from North Carolina on the lines, and as I was going to just elaborate a little bit, the term Nazi, you know, is basically from the larger term Ashkenazi, which is the term having to do with Jewry. And it is, in fact, the name that that Hitler and the party gave it, the National Socialist Party. So you have to know, as our first audio clip indeed said, that things don't happen in a vacuum. Germany was raped and pillaged and destroyed after World War One, and they set the stage with the sanctions and the debauchering of the German mark after the Treaty of Versailles, to the point where they needed a leader. They needed a new leader to lead them, particularly since at Versailles they had all this land that belonged to them that you had German people living on, taken from them, divided up, so they were already creating the geographical boundaries that would lead to a new war. Anybody who can't see it has to be just plain dumb or a liar. that the goal, the stage was being set for the new war, and that would involve Germany having to go into Poland and fight with Russia over territory. And this is what happened, is the term has been a killer term, a demon seed term that has almost no meaning whatsoever today. And that's why I find it, as you point out, ironic, you know, that the very people who use the term most of all are usually, invariably, guilty of doing and being the very thing that they denounce. So when Israel denounces what they call Nazis and what they call Nazi-like behavior on the part of the Palestinians and all their enemies, they're actually looking in a mirror. They're actually pointing four fingers back. So this is Cain. You see now, Cain's seed line is an accusatory one. You made me this way. You're the bad guy. My brother was bad. Abel was not good. I am righteous. He is evil. This is how they have to be because it's in their DNA. And that's why the whole business of Nazism, bashing, and whatever it may be, using terms to silence opposition, that's why it's all one big polemical exercise. You see what I'm saying, Frank?
Well, it's interesting that any white person that stands up for their own rights and their own interests as a white person who believes that they are being slighted because they're white, criticized because they're white, when they stand up for themselves, they're immediately labeled, attacked as being a Nazi. And, you know, if you look at it just from a superficial level, maybe the Nazis, what we call the Nazis, the Germans, they're the only ones in modern times that ever stood up to Jewish terror.
That's where
a lot of the confusion comes in, though, Rick, is because the Hitler and the Germans people under Hitler's leadership, they're seen as the only people that ever stood up to what we're still fighting today.
Well, you got to understand now. Wait a minute, you're touching on something, and that is a stated historical fact that the only country in Europe that had the power and wherewithal to fight against Bolshevism and communism was the powerful German Republic. And that's why they were demonized. You're right. As a people, as General Patton said, you know, we've killed a beautiful race. We've killed a race of people that we should have saved and fought alongside. We killed the wrong people, and he threatened to come home and tell that story, and they killed him. So, you know, you're right. You got it down pretty well, you know. You should have been a professor, Frank.
All right, thanks, Rick. Really.
Thank you for the call. All right. He got it off his chest right here on this show. And thank him for that because you really have to get it off your chest. Once in a great while when the opportunity presents itself. Because, as you know, most talk radio is so superficial. It's so basically superfluous that people don't deal with the deeper issues. You remember when, what was his name, Sean Spicer, who was the press secretary for Trump. He talked about Hitler, and even he didn't do this and that, and immediately it set off a firestorm of Jewish reaction in the media, and then he was doing defense motions for days and weeks, and everybody else was just superficially contributing their two cents, you know. How dare he say that? Doesn't he know about the Holocaust? Doesn't he know about the 6 million? You know, and all of that. And that's what, you know, we talk about as a polemical exercise in basically forensic societies, you know, debate. When you want to kill a debate, you just, you know, you bring up the Holocaust. Or you say that this person is a denier rather than a debunker. I deal with debunking, not denying. I don't deny that there were people killed in the war. Most of them were killed by the Allies, and most of them were victims of Jewish aggressors, Kenites, not the other way around. And that's simply documented by some of the audio we played for you on this program. In fact, I just recorded three new programs, and one of them deals with that whole subject of the Holocaust industry, as well as real history coming out of World War One and Two, how communism kills 150 million and counting. So, yeah, it's important stuff. It's important, but not to this frivolous generation, I'm afraid. You know, it's a generation, again, of social media, of millennials, of childish behavior, and unfortunately, it never gets too deep, with rare exceptions, and we try to be part of that exception. All right, let's take the next call. Dave, you're up on the program. Hello, David.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Dave. Nice
to
have
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of points I wanted to cover real quick. First of all, the economy, because you're talking about the banks. I'm not sure what's going on, but it seems to me that it's actually quite possible that I'm not blaming Trump, but I'm saying that the economy has actually gotten worse since Trump got into office, and not better, because if I'm just going by from what I've been reading about homelessness in major cities, it's been on the increase. I've been reading somewhere between 30 and 40% since last year, which is insane.
Yes.
And the stories that have been coming, like San Francisco is one of the big stories that seems to be recurring. There's always stories about how it's actually kind of decimating their tourism in San Francisco because it smells like feces everywhere. If we go by certain real indicators on the ground, then it's quite possible. And I'm going by homelessness numbers, not necessarily by job numbers, because just because someone has a job does not necessarily mean that they're going to be able to afford to live somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, so that needs to be understood. And the fact that the stock market is at an all-time high, that's not a good indication of where the economy is going, and it actually
could
be a bad
sign.
And then the other point that I wanted to make was that there's another better example of how. Another country that I think is a better example of Bolshevism being taken care of, and that's it's not Germany, it's Spain under Francisco Franco.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see an example of how Bolshevism was absolutely decimated, and the only way you can take care of it is through warfare. Okay, and. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because people bring up terms like Nazi or fascist, and Francisco Franco is considered the term that's always used for these guys is fascist. The only type of person or leadership that can take care of this problem called Bolshevism is a fascist, and this is only because this is the way it's played out through history.
Yes,
The problem in the United States is that if we have freedom of thought and freedom of religion, Bolshevism is a legal form of it's legal to be a Bolshevik in the United States or a communist. It's not illegal to be a communist in the United States. If that's being the case, it's a constitutional right to be a communist. Then there's not much chance that you can actually, it would be very difficult to go up against something that's actually required warfare just throughout history. Throughout the decades.
Well, and that's a point to be taken as well. But remember one thing, Dave.
Go ahead.
Just remember this, okay? And that is that, as you said at the beginning of the conversation, Trump really is not responsible totally for anything economically any more than Jimmy Carter was in 1976 to 1980. The banks run the country. The banks run most of the world. They run the economic global system, and politicians take the blame or the acclaim. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you're saying people are the people are focused on things like social media and things like Anthony Bourdain and things like that. I mean, it's just to me, it's so ridiculous that people are talking about these issues for these
people. Oh, yeah, positively. Yeah, it's a waste of time to me. I could spend all the 2 hours, I could talk about what's going on now between Fox and CNN, all of the nonsense, the chit-chat, all of the name-calling, all of the tearing down, and what would it accomplish? Absolutely nothing. It means nothing because it's a major distraction from the real issues of economy, of war for peace, of the breakdown of American independence, and its submergence into the one-world global union. Those are the things that need to be talked about. Nobody, I tell you, nobody but us is really talking about it.
Right. And I know that, that there's been some speculation about this Bourdain character, kind of like the reason why he was, you know, whatever, suicided. No one knows really what happened, but
yeah,
is because
yeah,
he was coming out against the Clintons and the deep state, supposedly. But no, I don't know if anyone really knows this for a fact. But at the same time, it's just, to me, it's like, it's still a distraction because we're so focused on the name, mm-hmm, the person, the
right,
celebrity. And that has to stop because it's just this endless cycle of the celebrity. Who's this person? Who's that person? And it's just, it's really, it's very telling, basically.
It sure is.
So,
thank you very much for your call, Dave. I appreciate
all right, thank
it.
Thank you.
Very good points. And again, it all comes back to the same reality, all right? Just don't be deceived in the mind. I think we have Barbara up next on the line. Hello, Barbara. Come on up.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Barbara. Thank you.
Okay. That's wonderful, Rick. I must say, I have learned so much listening to your program. But I have 3 points, and I think they work with your dialogue this evening or this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
First, the word racist is another dialogue. It stops people from being able to express themselves. I think it's, I have a 1942 dictionary, and that word does not exist. It did not exist in the 1942 dictionary. Now, I did learn that Leon Trotsky was the one that developed that word, that invented it, and it was used, it was invented simply to cause division. And it's been doing a really fine job of it. And I think that there's another point I wanted to make, and that is
you made a good point about that word racism. That was never used until the last century or so, and it had become part of the lexicon of the revolutionary movement. Just like, for instance, the term separation of church and state, that had never been mentioned in a historical context as such. It was created during the 1920s in the Supreme Court and within the legal system to mirror the Bolshevik view that Christianity, particularly, should be separated from a culture and a people in America. That's where it came from, the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes, yes, you're exactly right. Okay, but it's still thrown around like confetti today, and especially, all right, here, I mean, it's just across the country everywhere. But anyway, we can, as you said, go on all afternoon about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Second point I wanted to make, I've observed a couple of articles pointing out how MasterCard and Visa are targeting companies and now ideology. If you don't think the way we think, then we're not going to process your Visa or MasterCard debits or payments. And as you stated, the globalists are the ones, are the bankers, and there's this chain, this slow taking away the cash and causing us to have to use these credit cards in order to make any sorts of transactions. And I think, you know, I'm wondering how I can have any kind of relief. And I'm thinking Congress, even though they have a banking committee, I found them to be quite useless. So I'm thinking about perhaps changing my credit card from MasterCard and Visa to something different, and then also getting in touch directly with my bank and letting them know that I will close my account with them if they don't do something to change Visa's policy, because my debit is a Visa card. And then third, the fact that the synagogue of Satan has been using us as their slave, both militarily and using our money. It's all the, and I mean billions of dollars that have been funneled into Israel. And the fact that Trump has allowed a military base to be set up over there, I'm going to take it a step further and say that the whole damn state of Israel is a military base to get set up to just take down the Middle East for World War III.
Well, it is a police state, a military police state, dictatorship for those who are occupied. For those who are living the high life, you know, those who call themselves Jews and can be granted what they call their citizenship based on their race, then, of course, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure for them and the government. But then again, even that is a delusion, because in previous decades, when they had the 67 attack on the Liberty and the war, that was going on then, they did all of that, and propaganda films came out in Hollywood that would entice Jews to go to Lift Israel because they really didn't want to go to Lift Israel. Incredible. I mean, the population was not one of immigration, but if anything, emigration. So they had to stir up more hate and more the Nazi Holocaust theories and so on and so forth, just so that they could get more people to go there and populate the land. All right, so it is a police state, but even the World War III scenario is not something they're going to do. It's about fear. It's about creating disarmament through fear and through the threat of war. You see, just the threat of war leads to progressive surrender. They're very clever, because they really don't want to destroy themselves either, you see. They want to rule over the other countries, and that's why they've targeted Iran and the Islamic world so much today. Not just Iran, remember. It's Iran, it's Turkey now, it's Pakistan. Those are the three key countries, as well as what's going on in Africa now. So they're very diabolical, but plotting people, you see. All right, I have to run along. Thank you so much for your call. It's good to hear from you. And we're going to move along now to Barbara in Georgia, and then we'll try to squeeze in two more calls quickly. Okay, Barbara. Barbara. She's not there? All right, we'll go to... Okay, then we have Michael, right? Okay, bring up Michael. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Rick. Good afternoon, sir. Rick, always great shows, and I appreciate all the information. But every time I hear these fascists call in and thinking that the fascists were the answer to freeing us from the Antichrist Zionists, I laugh my tail off, because they got them still by the you-know-what, too.
I think that's the key, is that they control both sides at the top. That's
sure
the
do.
Key. Yep.
And, Rick, I'd like to quickly present some evidence to that so you can get to your next caller, too. Number one, somebody brought to my attention a site, Tomato Something, saying how all these people knocking Hitler, he wasn't going after the Jews, and he cites in a case where he did get a Rothschild. The Nazis had a Rothschild in their hands. So I read the article because I was very surprised, but here you go. They let him go for ransom. They didn't hang him like I would. If I was president, I'd get my hands on these Rothschilds, I'm hanging them. No, they let them go instead of hanging them, saying, here's an example of what we're doing to all you dirtbag commie bastards, excuse me, once I get my hands on. You know, they let them go for ransom. Also, real quick, Errol Flynn used to be, was considered maybe a Nazi spy, and the reason
he
covered the Spanish War, where the national Spaniards were trying to defend their country from fascist takeover. So he went over there with a photographer to study all that and report on that. The photographer was a friend of his that he met on a boat coming from Australia, and this guy taught him his lifestyle of debauchery that his dark side, Flynn's dark side, predominated his whole life with. And so
I read a little bit about him, but he was a draft evader. He was somebody who was calling himself a draft avoider because he didn't want to see any war, any World War One or Two, for that matter.
From the Tasmanian Devil, The Fast and Furious Life of Errol Flynn, still on YouTube. Here's the guy that taught him his debauchery, and here's his background.
There is absolutely no evidence to suggest that Errol knew his quixotic friend was a Nazi. Erben was Jewish, yet was also a Nazi party member and an amateur spy.
And then in that video, you'll see him dressed, Erben dressed like Hitler, the mustache, the whole rig, and I just feel sorry for all these people thinking fascists were better than, or really enemies of the communists. And
no, they weren't really
like
enemies
we are.
At the top. The people suffered. The German people horribly were murdered in great numbers. And, look at Dunkirk, where Hitler gave a free pass to the British there. He let them get away with it. He could have killed them all. They had the island completely surrounded, could have taken them, or at least taken them in prison camps, and won. But, he let get away with it. He let Stalin get away with things when he had the invasion, Barbarossa in 1941. I don't know.
That's right.
I mean, some people just think that Hitler was the greatest thing. I don't. I agree with you. Some people don't agree, but that's fine. Look at the results. The result was a world totally destroyed after World War II and under the boot of the communist tyranny. So how are they better off?
Yes, sir, Rick, along with the creation of the modern state of Israel as the end result of all that. You got
That's
it, Rick,
key.
Exactly, sir.
The key is the bad fig tree. You're right. You're very sharp. And, we thank you very much for your observations. I appreciate it very much, my friend Mike. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. God bless, sir.
Amen. Thank you. One last call, I think, if we have time. Barb in Florida. Hello, Barb.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Yes.
Chuck Baldwin has Liberty Fellowship MT.com, and his sermon Sunday, which is like on a podcast, you can play it. Explaining the whole thing about Israel and how those folks are the Antichrist.
Yes, he's been doing some good columns and good sermons lately, Chuck Baldwin. All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Barb. I'm glad we could squeeze you in. Folks, I'm sorry, we're out of time. We'll be back, God willing, again next Saturday, same time, same network. Until then, may Yahweh bless his elect.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.